Our Father, we pray that you will help us to be even more conscious of who you are, of what we are before you. Help us to understand what it means to be servants of yours and to take all the challenges that come our way as something that is allowed by you, willed by you. Give us grace, give us wisdom to find the spirit of faith that would help us cope. We pray for your blessings as we read your word this morning. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, now we've moved into the seven plagues here, and then we're going to come to this thing here we call the Armageddon, and we want to take a look at this very, very carefully. And this is the last of the of all the things that we are looking at, and our last of the seventh plague. And we call this place here, you know, this Armageddon is something that we need to look at very carefully. And of course, Marvel Comics and all the films, and they all make a big thing out of this Armageddon because they are very familiar with this idea of what the Armageddon is. So the question is, what's this all about? And we want to look at it a little bit more carefully. So in verse 17, we read, "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air." Now, this is where, so we have got into the sea. Now we are looking at the rivers. And now we are looking at the pouring of the bowl on the throne of the beasts. And this one, we are looking at how the great river Euphrates dried up. All these things are leading to this last event, right? So you must look at the flow of the plagues that are coming, right? So this is absolutely important. So it starts with those who worship the image, and then they end up with inexplicable sores that come. Now all of these things are targeted at those who worship the beast, basically, the idols that are there, and so that we are looking. So then the beast, the sea, hit his domain. The sea, the domain of the beast of the sea, will be affected. And that goes in tributaries, rivers. So that's 1, 2, 3. Now we go on further to other areas, right? And as we look at this, and then the fourth angel that will hit the sun, the heat problem, and there's a night darkness with that coldness. And then we take a look at all the other things, and full of darkness. And the people, they were in great pain, and they did not repent. They just cursed and swore. And then the sixth one, where the river Euphrates is all dried up. And the drying up of the Euphrates River is just paving the way to the next big event. And the next big event is what we are now looking at. And this is called the Battle of Armageddon. So it will head towards war. Right now, so when you look at the world today becoming more and more rearming itself, you know, we talk about Japan forgetting 80 years earlier, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, part of it, that has already been slowly losing its impact, right? So if you were to drop by Hiroshima or Nagasaki, you will find that there's a museum there and a lot of people, but a lot of local people take it. It's just one of those tourist attractions. That's it. They frankly don't care. They've just gone, move on, and they've just forgotten about the World War. And bit by bit, they are going to see it. And just about every country that can afford it has a very big budget now towards defense. Everybody's increased. And we're all asking, what's happening? Is this a marketing strategy? Well, you may call it that. But if you look at it from the biblical standpoint, we're heading towards Armageddon. And that's what we are going to be looking at today. And this Armageddon thing that we are looking at has to be something we want to look at very, very carefully. So the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, verse 17, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, and saying, "It is done." Right? And then we read, "And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and a great earthquake, such as a mighty and great earthquake as had never occurred since men were on the earth." Now, this cataclysmic earthquake is something that, very frankly, nobody can anticipate. Nobody can know what we were looking at. Look at the recently, the Nabchatka part of it, you know, the earthquake, it's 8.6 there. It turned out to be nothing. But they were preparing for a tsunami of a huge proportion just very recently. You see, a lot of people think it's not going to happen. It won't happen. Watch the news, right? So they raise alarm, and they're looking at this, at this going to come one of these days. A lot of people think this earthquake is just going to happen. Look, the earthquake that they are anticipating at SF is going to be a huge one, and they are worried about it, that fault that's there, and it's going to be there. Right? So when we look at all the faults that are there, if Indonesia get this problem here, we think we are not affected, we are not the earthquake belt area, you'll be surprised. We'll get hit by tremors. Right? So when we look at Myanmar was hit by this kind of thing here, and then tsunami hit the place there. In a single day, 100,000 people lost their lives, just like that. Now, that's frightening to see. But you see again here, it's old news. After a while, 20 years later, everybody's forgot. But this is one earthquake. When that will happen? Are the seismologists warning about this? Yes. But nobody's paying attention. So what is this thing that we are looking at? And this is going to be such a great earthquake. And the word here is that it's going to be verse 18, great earthquake. Again here, such as a mighty and great earthquake. Twice in the same verse it is mentioned. It's so bad that it has never occurred on this earth before. Right? So then we read about the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God. Now, what is this thing that we are looking at? How can it affect so badly? Because this one is going to be in such a state that we are looking at new formations, as it were. And this is a very serious problem. It's so serious that it had to be given all of these things here. What is happening? So we are looking at divine strikes, plague one after the other. You just imagine if there's a pandemic with sores, people will repent. Nope. They will try to find vaccines. They'll find medicine. They'll find some kind of embalming. They'll cure it. So it's okay. Now the 2019 pandemic is now sort of okay, it's over. Nobody even bothers about it. No need to wear face masks. No need to wear anything. Don't worry about it. We'll never do that again. Well, this is what we are looking at, right? So when the seas and the rivers are hit together, one after the other, you would imagine people would sit down and think, what's happening? Not just for the event, but what's going to happen next, right? We mustn't think it's just going to be over. And then we look at all the other things. Then suddenly the moon is affected, the sun is affected, then the moon is affected. So the heat is a problem. Night darkness is a problem. And then plus all the other things, and we read about all the things that will come. And then physical phenomenon, and the river Euphrates is all dried up. And we are looking at possible war now. What happens? Right? Who's going to make a big deal out of it? How do we deal with this? And the answer is there is no way in which you can answer this unless you look at it from a divine standpoint. Well, are we ready for such a reality? Well, this is something we need to think about. We are all so caught up with our little world. You know, I want to achieve this, I want to have that, I'm going to be able to do that, I'm going to have the other thing, all kinds of things. And fortunately, it's not going to go that way. We read in verse 19, the great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell. Now, we just think you cannot fall. You'll be surprised how dangerous it is. Great cities in the world can fall apart just like that, very easily. I mean, look at the economy. Can Russia fall apart? Sometimes we wonder what keeps Russia going. Can China fall apart? Yes. Right? Can America fall apart? Look at the debts they are in now. We are looking at trillions. And so we are looking at what is it? What is it that will keep Anika city going? Now we all think that, you know, this, and I would say unpredictability. We talk about all the disasters that are coming. And we all keep on thinking, somebody got to make some money out of all of these things here. The question is, what is it all about? This is judgment time. These are all bowls of judgment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The big question is, what is Babylon? Originally, Babylon, it would be the Babylonian Empire. Right? But actually, the one that laid the ground is actually the Assyrians. They were the ones. The Babylonians just simply conquered the king over there and they took over. They didn't build. It was Assyria that built the empire. The Babylonians took over. But Babylon became what it is, and it became a name. It became a symbol. Now, if you look at it, many people think, well, this is the literal, physical Babylon, then it will be Iraq. Right? So when Iraq was hit really badly, desert storm, and it was all over. There's no way in which Babylon can be Iraq today. Can they come up? Maybe. But very unlikely. So what then is Babylon? And this is where it describes a city or the capital that affects the entire world. Now, this is something that becomes very, very, very challenging to consider. What is it that will affect the entire world? Now, there has been a lot of debate as to what this is all about. And many people see this as a future Europe. Right? They call it a European Union. When if Europe started to form together, and it was known as the EEC then, they were forming 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then they were counting. When we reach 10, prophecy will be fulfilled. And I think that's unfortunate theology, unfortunate speculation, because they are way more than that today. Right? So it's obviously not the 10. So they say 10 corresponds with the 10 toes. See, that's the kind of stuff that people look at, and actually it's not. These things are symbolic. So the question is what? Of course, there are people who will not say it out loud. They will not say this is Washington. Because the theologians are all from the U.S. Most of all the top theologians today are all from that one country. So can't say it out loud. If you do say it out loud, you are going to be literally, unfortunately, cut out. So they all blame it on Europe. And Europe has long been devoid of the scriptures for a long, long time. Since the 16th century, 17th century, come to 18th century, Europe has become more and more liberalized until the scriptures don't mean a thing to them today. It's been there for the last 300 years, 200-300 years now. Right? So the question is, what is this? Now, so it was simply called Great Babylon. It was remembered before God. And to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So the big issue is, what is this thing that we are looking at? And that becomes a very big issue. What is this all about? Right? So this is going to be a judgment of Babylon. And the question is, how do we understand this Babylon? And it is not going to be an easy answer in any way. So many people are still thinking that it is going to be the Babylon that will come. A lot of people discounted the idea of Iraq now. It's gone. But the two options right now are still very strongly out there in the theological circles. It's a revived Roman Empire. So Babylon in those days would simply be Rome. In the days of the writing of John, the Babylon of those days was Rome. Right? So that is what we are looking at. And this is where we go. And what is this? Right? But Rome has come and gone. So therefore, it cannot be Rome. So that's why they say, maybe it's a revived Roman Empire. In other words, they're going to take the trappings of the Roman Empire. But look at the trappings. What was the symbol of the Roman Empire? The eagle. What's the eagle in the US? Same. Idea of the Congress, where is it taken from? Rome. You know that it actually follows Rome in the early days in more ways than one. The Senate is there, Rome. All of these things are actually a carryover of Roman days into the US. Right now, the center of power today is in one city, one person. And this person wields so much power, it's unbelievable. Right? I mean, he has power to shut down just about anything under the sun if you wish. Right? So if he doesn't like the education department, you're gone. By grace, no more job. That's it. I mean, you just think about it. They don't like the medical facilities, we're cut short, everything is gone. And you just can't imagine, is this actually allowed by constitution? The answer is no. But who's going to stop him? Nobody. This is Babylon. This is what they were famous for. Whoever rules Babylon literally rules the world. There's only one place that Babylon cannot influence. That's God. And this is a judgment. So we are looking at. And so great Babylon was remembered before God. So when we look at the word remember, this is a word that describes God will hold that nation accountable. So when we say God remembers, what it really means is God is going to hold Babylon accountable. And this is the day of accountability. They are going to have to account for what they did. Result, they will be given a cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. That was how it was. That's how the empress did it in old China too. So when the emperor gives you a drink, it could be that you are very favored, you are greatly honored. If you don't drink it, you insult, you die. If you drink it, you can also die because you don't know what he's giving you. This imagery of the cup of wine is something that's very real and is there. And so this is where we go. And this cup is called the fierceness of his wrath. Right? So as much as everybody, but watch this, as much as everybody would want to be friends with, everybody makes appointment to come and see the famous president just to have him entertain you, call you, say hello to you is a big deal. And if he grants you lower tariff, you go home a hero. And if not, you are in trouble. But when this place is going to be hit, what's going to happen? All the aisles fled away. That's how it works in the world. You will always go to the person most successful. When a person is not, a person is in trouble, there are no friends. Seriously, there are no friends among losers. When you are a winner, so-called, you got plenty of friends. Everybody wants your friendship. Everybody wants your favor. Everybody wants your attention. You are invited to the best of every single thing under the sun until you are not. And then it's all over. Right? Now, I hope you understand what this is, this warning of. And every island fled away. The mountains is not a reference to the physical mountains. So when you look at mountains here, we always think of them as nations. Right? So there are the little isles. They were all there and they are all gone. And the mountains that were there, so it was small countries, big countries, you know, we have 190 of them. What happens when Babylon is struck? You're going to be left alone, completely alone. Babylon always felt it was the most protected of all, golden Rome, not just an iron one, but a golden one that will be built, and it's going to cost billions of dollars we're going to build. And so the people who want to build them all believe that they are going to be the best, because this is where they can make all the money. So they become multi-billionaires overnight and so on and so forth. That's how that works at the end of it all. How can you defend? Let me ask seriously, can they actually defend against the air attack the Lord will launch? Let's look at his air attack. Hailstone about the weight of one talent. Can you imagine? Yeah, I don't know whether you ever seen, have you seen hail, right? When I had a car over it, I was living in the U.S. for a while during my studies there. The hailstones come usually April time. So after the winter time, the springtime come. The springtime hail will come, hit. And then you see the car, little dents. Little bit here, a little bit there, little dents here and there. And you said, oh dear, what happened? The car hit like that, the value drops. Well, the cars are not expensive there, but drops even further. So you just think about it. Now this hailstone, when it hits, no more car. We're not looking at stuff. We're looking at, like a wrecking place. It's all flattened, pulverized. That's what we are looking at. This is the size of a hailstone, the size of a talent. Right? I mean, it's huge that we're going to take a look at. The weight of a talent. And man blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. And this is a hail thing that happened in the days of Moses as well. So what are we looking at? And this is important for us to note. So what is this Babylon? Right? So when we look at a world system, you begin to realize that Babylon that we are looking at is a final blow. But if you look at tracing it from first one to the second one, to the third one, to the fourth one, the fifth one, the sixth one, it's all related to Babylon. All trade, Babylon. You cannot survive. Singapore cannot be a wealthy nation if we only trade with Batam. What can we sell them? What can they buy from us? It cannot be only because we work closely with Malaysia. It's not possible. It has to be, as it were, international. So when countries become nationalized, we are more concerned about nationalism rather than they about international. Singapore, small island like this, will always be affected. We can't afford to have people think nationalism. It has to be geopolitical. It has got to be all over the world. And if we don't, we're sunk. There's no way in which any country can be self-sufficient. So PM Modi over in India asked the people, we must be self-sufficient. How? There's no way in which you can. But when you keep with 35% tariff, because it hurts like crazy. Well, we're looking at everything that's affected. Sea trade, river trade, you name it. Every single aspect is all related to Babylon. But when Babylon is hit very badly, what happens? All the nations will flee for themselves. Hey, listen, I got nothing to do with that. You can't, because God is going to hold to account everything, every single one. And that's what we are looking at. And this is something that is sobering to think about. What are we living for? Right? And this is something that we all need to consider. So we look at the plagues that were coming. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're not separate. They are one after the other. Right? So it's like a domino thing here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're going to get hit. Well, we're looking at these things here. Look at this idea of, look at plastic. Oh, we must have, Singapore charges plastic bag, 10 cents per bag, and so on and so forth. Same India, they give paper bag, no plan B. They must use paper bag, nothing else, and so on and so forth. Look at the treaties that are developing, trying to get a treaty on use of plastic bags. Suddenly, US says, we're out. The whole thing's gone. The climate things here. One person says, nope, we are out of this accord. The whole thing falls apart. This is Babylon affecting everybody. And right now, currently, unless things change, we are looking at one particular nation. We call it Babylon. That is affecting every single thing on this earth. You name me one country that is not affected. Right? No matter how you look at it. Well, we'll say, well, China is not affected. You'll be surprised. They still have to negotiate. Right? You think Russia is not affected. Well, this guy is smarter than the other one. Well, his guy really knows how to get his way around. How do you think he survived all these years? Right? Not by playing nice. And there we go. And we are looking at the world right now. If you're staring at it very carefully, watch all these things here. So when you look at pandemics, people don't see that we're trying to, oh, this is Wuhan. Don't worry about where it comes from. The danger is that it can affect millions. And millions can die. Well, we can prevent that somewhat, up to a point, but it's going to be affected. All right, so that's over. What about the sea? What about the rivers? What about the sun? Heat? What about darkness? Cold? What about so many factors, one after the other? They're all interrelated until it climaxed to Babylon. And then once it is affected, everything else is affected, reversed. This is the Lord's word of warning and to all of us. This is what we are looking at. And so we are looking at the Lord's weaponry. Right? Lord's weaponry is earthquake. Look at how devastating the earthquakes can be. This one is going to be so great. It's going to split the whole nation into whatever it is. He can split it into three parts if you want to. Right? So we're looking at something that's going to happen. What is this that's happening? Where is it? We don't know. But we do know that we have a symbolic name called Babylon. And it has fallen. And so, of course, chapter 17 explains it a little bit more. Mystery. Babylon the Great. Well, so we're going to try to look at it at a little next week, and we'll look at it, not this week after, and we'll come back. Next week, we'll be at Shang. But we take a look at this. So what are we looking at? And so sometimes we ask ourselves, what are we doing? That this is very important. What are we doing? I had an interesting letter from a person who is not a church member, and she says, I'm a newcomer. And I don't know Christianity very well. So I come across this term. He said, people talk about living for God, serving God. So he asked, what does that mean? So he says, I am in a corporate world right now. I am in a certain position, I've been there, you know what? I can't find my place. I can't find, what does it mean to be who I am, where I am? He says, my identity is to identify myself in the corporate world, where I stand, and this is where I'm standing right now. But I'm asking myself, what is that all about? What is that all about? Take away that position and you are nobody? Is that all? That's it? Take away your position, take away your title, and you're a nobody. Think about it. Really sit down and really think hard about it. When you go to India, it's a very humbling experience, right? And we are the only two Chinese people there, of course, and among all the people. But what's that all about? All the rest of the world, they won't even know. They don't even care who you are, where you are, where you come from. That's where we really are in the world. Nothing much. So we have to ask ourselves all over again, if all these plagues are going to come, one after the other, one, you have to ask yourself, are you going to be held accountable? Is the Lord going to make you drink from the same cup? That would be a terrible thing. There is the wrath of God being poured out. How are we going to cope with all of these things? Well, think about these things here. All right, I'm going to open it up to you what the questions you might like to raise up. So as we come to the seventh plague, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And believe me, these are not easy things to read about. Unfortunately, we see this as almost theory. Sort of, okay, it's a factual thing, it's a prophetic thing, and it's not very relevant. Well, let me say this. It's far more relevant than we think. Because our whole livelihood is going to be there. So let's say that for once and all ones and purposes, let's say that you have nothing else to eat but sandwiches. Can you survive? Seriously, think about these things here. And it's a really painful reality. Right? So when we look at these things here, I kind of sober up and ask yourself, what is it? I think most of us would prefer, Lord, you call me home before this happens. Most prayers are like that. Lord, before day one, okay? Last minute, just please take me home. And that's something that we all sort of pray about. And that's why sometimes it affects theology. That's why they always believe in the rapture will come. You know, before Lord, I'm gone, how wonderful. I don't think that's the way we want to read the scriptures and just hope to escape the reality of it all. What is our mission? What's our role? What's our part? And to me, we must be there to manifest the truth. Right? We're not just there to preach. We are there to say, you know what? This is the world at large. And the world is made up of money, money, money. And our lives should not revolve around it. No, it's not wrong to have that money in itself. But if that's the only thing we think about, if that's the only focus in our life, and there is no life outside making money, then we have really missed the points of living. Because when you are dead and gone, all that you have will come to absolutely nothing. Right? So this is something you want to think about very, very carefully, and you want to ask yourself how we want to live. Now, all of these things, will it affect believers? Actually, yes. But not this kind of plagues. It's the fallout that we're concerned about. Right? Because it's going to affect, obviously, business. It's going to affect nations. It's going to affect everything. Therefore, those who are living there will be affected. But it's more of a fallout. This one is direct. This one is direct blast. Then that will be a problem. It's like any of this disaster, Chernobyl or any of those things here, you're directly hit. You're going to die and die soon. Radiation problems and so on and so forth. You're going to die soon. But the rest are also affected. You become anemic. You become sick. You have radiation sickness and it just lingers and you just can't figure out why, what's happened. Well, so there are fallout problems. So will we be affected, those of us who are alive? Yes. Will we be like living in the land of Goshen? No. There will be fallout. That's the way the world is wired. And that's how we are going to be affected. Right? But let's ask ourselves, what are we worshipping? Are we worshipping God or are we worshipping mammon? That's the biggest problem. Because if we end up worshipping mammon, that's what we're going to have at the end of the day. We're going to be part of this problem. You know, literally, we almost can't live without thinking in terms of dollars and cents. Everything is money. Every area, every factor of life becomes a money problem. It's just kind of sad, but it's a very real problem. Well, this is Babylon problem. Well, next week we are going to see how it will affect. Or we come back 2 weeks' time. We're going to see how Babylon is going to affect. Will Babylon affect the church? Sadly, yes. Will it affect every single life? Well, much depends on how you understand chapter 17. And it's going to be very important for us. That's why we say the mystery of Babylon revealed. That's what we're looking forward to. What is this Babylon mentioned about? What is it all about? We're going to figure out when we come back. But remember, can the church be affected? Sadly, yes. Right? And it's going to be a very big problem how the church has been affected and will continue to be affected. Unfortunately, there's no turning back. The church today is not the church in the book of Acts anymore. We really want to follow the book of Acts. We will always be a small minority. And that's how we are going to be. So think about this. Okay, well, let's pray together before we go. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the challenge to read your word aright. Help us to recognize the dangers that will come our way. And as we explore your word, give us that wisdom and the grace to know how to apply ourselves, to apply this truth into our life. We pray for grace and mercy to fathom your word better. Grant us grace and blessings, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.